You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. Thank you for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. I'm your host, Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez.
Well, listeners, I think I'll fill you in a little bit. Today I had a lovely fall where I fell down some concrete stairs and decided to bruise up my tailbone and my backside. So as I was walking down the stairs, I slipped and my feet went out from underneath me and my derriere landed right on the steps. So immediately I reached out to my team and kind of said, "Mayday, mayday, I need your help. I give you full permission." So, and I know that they actually did. I did actually feel like an ease come in where it wasn't as sharp in the point where all my breath was taken away kind of from the pain. And then I became very methodical of like assessing what was going on. Can I move my legs? Is there anything broken that I could possibly feel? I was trying to break down everything and not freak out. And after reaching out my team and then feeling them, I then called, you know, for help from my mom. And then my mom went and got my partner who helped me get back up the stairs. And then we decided, because I had a little weakness in the legs and there's just no way I couldn't sit down, that we would go to the emergency room. And luckily only a few hours in the emergency, I came back out with just a severely bruised tailbone. And as we were discussing with the ladies on the podcast, we were wondering, you know, at what point do you think that this is on purpose? Everything is for a reason? Or, you know, after assessing what was going on, I kind of asked myself internally, did this really need to happen? Was there something that needed to be released? Because I do believe sometimes that, you know, injury can happen because something needs to be released. And I've been doing a lot of releasing in the root, in the sacral. So there's a knowingness that I think that there is. And that this just needed to happen so that a certain area, whether it be density, there's energy there that needs to be released. So, and I'm just very grateful that it didn't fracture or break.
I think it's interesting that you brought up the fact that you've been doing a lot of healing in that area of your body and that happened. I remember the first time I had Reiki, but it was a really good session. I went to one of my... She turned into one of my teachers and they were having a Reiki chair and some folks worked on me. And one of the women mentioned, "Oh, there's some deep ancestral stuff." And they were working on my back. Some deep ancestral stuff was coming up. I thought, huh. And it was on my left side. And then I went, drove home. And 45 minutes later, I threw my back out for the first time in my life. And I was bedridden for a week.
Wow.
To the point where, yeah. And I couldn't, Chad kept finding me. He's like, "When you need help rolling over, let me know." And I was like, "I do this myself." And then he'd find me crying, stuck in a position in bed, like sitting up, and I couldn't get myself to lay down because it was that bad. And it was right after healing, right after, you know, all this stuff was coming up. And it was like, okay, you know, you just... The issues are in the tissues and sometimes they just come out in very sort of incapacitating ways. And if you can, you should honor them. You know, I had the luxury of, well, I couldn't have moved anyway, but I had the luxury of a boss who understood and I got the week off and was able to really just heal.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about pulling up my Reiki table to my desk and then being on my stomach and doing my work.
Well, that'll be quite interesting indeed. Oh my goodness. But
what about you, Stephanie?
Well, I want to ask Heather, you know, during this time, once you found out you're okay, as far as nothing's broken, what have you, did you start the process of thinking, like you said, why this went down, how this was going to benefit you? What was that like as you worked through it?
No, you know, after I got the feeling like this just needs to be released, I don't need to attach another story to it. I just want it to be healed and let it go. I don't necessarily need to know what it is. I'd like to, but then we as humans have a tendency of like, no, I got to find out why. And then you wind up living by that story, or, you know, falling victim to your own self of making yourself a victim of like, oh, I had this done to me and I had to fall in order to get rid of it. No, you know what? Right now I am okay with not even knowing what went on. Like if that's what it was and it needed to heal, so be it. Yay that I'm grateful that it's now getting out and it doesn't have to be anything worse. You know what I mean? Like having an organ removed.
Yeah.
Well, I like that advice a lot, because you're right. You could easily get caught up in the story as mm-hmm. the why, and maybe miss the whole point of just what you're going to do now is just going to heal yourself. Like you said, you're going to call attention to that area that maybe you're just kind of throwing it out there, maybe needed healing or releasing in the mm-hmm. first place. So yeah. How do we not, either one of you, scare the listeners and anyone who's thinking, oh my gosh, well, why do I want to work on stuff if, like, poor Angela, just someone mentioned that she had ancestral issues in her back and then her back goes out. That sounds very scary, right? So how do we tell people that just because you think of it or talk about it or are working on something, it doesn't mean an accident or an injury is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I think you can set the intention that you would like to work through whatever issues come up with as much ease and grace as possible, that you promise to notice the signs and signals if they can just hit you with a feather. In return, please don't hit me with a brick or a truck, you know, because what I'm referring to is the old adage that spirit's always trying to communicate with you, and it will first use a feather. So a small incident, just like a knowing, you know, there should be some change and you kind of ignore it. Then it'll hit you with a brick, you know, whatever that, and then a truck. So I know in the past, what comes to mind is when I knew I was at a job that wasn't a good fit, and I knew I should move on. And I just didn't want to deal with the hassle of putting out resumes and doing that, even though it was killing my soul. So that was the feather, was that feeling. The brick was, you know, just long hours, kind of getting more and more miserable. I was kept getting colds, kept getting flus. And then the truck was, they laid me off. So it was like, and then I had to scramble and find a job anyway. So I could have, you know, superseded all that or bypassed all that if I'd just been listening to my inner gut of saying, you know what, this isn't a fit for me. Let's go to where we belong. So you could put that in the healing context too, where just ask that you have this transition through as much ease and grace, and that you promise to pay attention to the feathers if you could just not have the bricks or the trucks. But I don't know. That's how I've handled things since then. Throwing my back out was a huge surprise. That was a huge, I did not even realize I was ignoring signs, but it certainly, things did shift after that.
So you're grateful for it now, looking back, right?
I am. It really allowed me to allow my spouse to help me mm-hmm. and not muscle through everything and figure out I can MacGyver my way through this. And like, no, sometimes you just need to put down your defenses and be carried to the bathroom. Now I drew the line. I was like, I don't care if I'm in here all afternoon. I will go to the bathroom myself. No matter what you hear, do not come into this bathroom. I need some dignity. But yeah, long-winded way of saying ease and grace. Request ease and grace.
That's good. I thank you for sharing the physical, because the emotional and spiritual side is one thing to say, oh, I've got the ancestral work to do, or I've got this releasing to do, but you also have the physical thing, which involved your husband, you surrendering and allowing yourself to be helped, and for him to step in and be able to help you and change maybe some of the dynamic or the roles, and for you to learn what it's like to rest, you know, maybe like it takes you out of that, the game for a little bit.
And it gave me compassion because that happened over the weekend. By Wednesday, I was so depressed. I remember waking up and realizing I still couldn't move and just sobbing. Like I have compassion now for people who have chronic pains, and I always thought I did, but now I had just a microscopic little moment of what their lives are like. And it gave me a bit of wisdom of how it can really wear you down when you can't bounce back on your perceived, what you think should be your timeline when it's still not happening, how it can really get to you and feel depressed and feel like a failure. And especially if you're a healer, and I had just had to learn to let that go and just know that my body's doing miraculous things that I can't see, but what I can do is give it the best environment in which to do its work. And that meant rest and sleep and going easy on myself.
What about you, Stephanie? Do you have any words of wisdom for the
wisdom? Well, I'm caught between, I understand what you're both are saying, very much so, but I have a hard time not knowing the story. So I get wrapped up in that a little bit. I appreciate what you said, Heather, as you were just, you weren't going to add a new story to it and burden yourself down with that. You fell, you had an injury, you consider it now a release, and you're going to heal it and you're going to move on. You're okay. You're moving on. And I think that's wonderful. And I really marvel at that, because I kind of have fallen in the trap with healing that so much of it, and we use the word invite a lot sometimes, right? Or we vibrate at the same frequency as this outcome, or we invite it, or we manifest it, or whatever the word is. So because there's that responsibility, it's very hard for me just to accept something without tying it to a story, like, right? And that's very, very difficult for me to do. So I honor that you just are okay with it. That's great. That's super cool. Ask you,
Stephanie, how does knowing the story help with the healing process versus not knowing the story?
Okay. Yeah, because I feel, for me, that if I know the story, then I can say, oh, this is what I need to focus on, or this is what I need to let go. I need to, for me, it just, I need to have, what do you want me to do? It's very hard just to say, okay, this happened and now I'm in pain and I have to live with this without, I'm not working on anything. I'm not doing anything. And that's what I get tripped up on. Go ahead.
No. Well, I don't want to cut you off, but it seems to me like your focus on how to prevent it from happening again, and not actually going through the healing process.
Maybe so. That's an interesting perspective. I did have.
And it might not be accurate, but.
No, but that's something to think about. It wouldn't surprise me, because I like to believe I will learn through observation, so I don't have to experience it, you know, myself. So a couple of years ago, I had my knee got messed up, and there was never anything that really that caused this injury. And it started, I believe, on my right knee inside the knee, and it just started aching, and then it started getting worse, and I start like adjusting and having this kind of little bit of a limp. And by then I was already into, I was already doing Reiki, I believe. And it just became my focus. You know, when something starts not working right or bringing pain, unfortunately, my focus all went to what was happening, which was every day, my knee. And then it just went from bad to worse, some ridiculous things. I finally went to see the doctor and said, you know, I've got this thing going on with my knee, the tech and x-ray, nothing. And I'm trying to tell him all these things it could be. I work in the garden a lot. I thought maybe I twisted it. Maybe it's just wear and tear. And people are telling me it's a meniscus, or maybe I need a knee replacement, horrible things like that. But I knew that wasn't the situation. I knew how to work on it emotionally. So what is it? Usually when it's something in the legs and the knees, it's being, means you're being stuck, right? You're stuck in place. So I kept thinking, what am I not doing? I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Well, my mom had given me some kind of topical prescription, like anesthetic stuff to put on your knee so it would help with the pain. But I don't know whether it was expired or I was sensitive to it. All I know is I got this raging rash all over my leg. So it went from bad. So now I had a limp leg that hurt like hell. And now I had this horrible leprosy looking leg happening. And it was just too much for me. And I started spiraling into horrible thought process. And it really just consumed me for way, way, way too long. And then my hips started acting up, and it was really an imbalance there. A lot. I would, you know, go to the doctor. No one could help me. I would do whatever work. I'm stuck. What? I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And in the end, it became probably a combination of two things. One, and again, this is not medical advice, just what worked for me. I started taking glucosamine and chondroitin, which is for the joints. I started regularly taking that, and I looked at the fact that I was looking at being physically stuck. I never questioned that I was mentally or spiritually stuck in my thought process or my beliefs. So when I turned my focus into how was I thinking, where could I maybe do some change there? I just like left the knee and started working in a whole nother area. And just over time, it just meshed together between, you know, the actual Western medicine supplements. And I don't know, I can't say I know exactly what I did, but I know I stopped focusing on it. And
that seems really important that you stopped, which is our natural instinct.
Yeah.
Like, my back was all I could think about, of course, but there's this training that we have to go through, because where our attention, you know, what we focus on, we manifest more of. So maybe you were adding kerosene to
I'm sure I was, because you're trying to
understand it. And all this extra energy was going towards the pain versus the relief.
Yes. Yes. I agree exactly with that focus. And then because it becomes so all encompassing, and I'm sending Reiki to it, and Reiki's not giving me the immediate results. And the doctors don't, there's nothing wrong with it. Anyone can see, but I know it's this pain and there's an injury. It just becomes just a big mess of an entangled, stories and just thoughts. And I was creating it, you know, it was one thing, but I needed to figure out what the situation was. But in the end, all I did was make it far worse just in putting that attention. So for the listeners to understand, basically anything you have going on, that's a minor. I'm not going to talk about anything big, but you know, maybe it's just your wrist hurts or you've got, I also had an elbow issue right after that. Same kind of thing. It just came out of nowhere. Like a tennis.
Is it on
elbow
the same
thing.
Side?
No, actually it wasn't. It was on my left elbow. And I spent a lot of time every day holding, squeezing my arm. And I kept saying, okay, it's on my left side. That's my female side. That's my receiving side. And I would try to work on it and do the same thing. Why is this happening? What do you want me to know? And I was really trying to unravel it. And I don't know exactly when, but then one day I just realized, oh my God, my elbow hasn't hurt all week. And it was gone. So to your point, Heather, it was a situation where I never needed to know. And luckily my focus didn't last as long or as intense like what did on my knee. And it came, I can't say I learned anything from it other than perhaps Angela, you know, having compassion and probably spent a lot of time doing self-healing, trying to work in it. And then, I did learn one thing, kids. I will say this. This is what I learned, that I was... That's okay. How was my story that I came up with? That was more the knee, excuse me. On the knee story, I realized that the knee, I kept favoring this knee that was on my right. And then eventually my left knee started hurting and I felt like I was falling apart. And I realized I was spending so much time on focusing on the right knee. I was neglecting the left, and the left was having to pull all the weight for the right. And so now it was screaming for help. It was like this talking whole scenario with the body. And then I think that's when I realized, you know, that's that the body speaks to you. The body's trying to get your attention, you know. And if you can't understand the language, at the very least, you know, send it love, send it thank you, instead of hating it, like you useless limb, right?
Yeah.
How dare you fail me?
Yeah. It's only till recently when pain comes up, I thank pain. You know, because we're kind of a-holes to pain. Pain isn't anything really. It's just there as a barometer of letting you know that, hey, something's amiss. Yeah. And here we are, we're really mean to pain, you know, like damn pain, blah blah blah. But in actuality, if you could befriend pain, it's not gonna be as intense for me. I this is what I'm finding in myself. So that's something to think about. But
can you explain befriend pain? How instead of looking at do that?
Instead of looking at pain as the enemy, and it's really hard, let me tell you, because I have been in some pain. I can tell you I've passed at least 7 to 8 kidney stones on my own without medication. And so I know what that I gave birth to 8 kidney stones. So I know what pain feels like. And they've been up to 3 or 5 centimeters. So,
good Lord, woman.
Yeah. Yeah. They have not been pleasant. So I know what pain feels like. And I know when you're in the middle of it, and I've broken each ankle and wrist at least 2 to 3 times, broken or fractured it. So I know what pain feels like. I have been through, I can have my own hospital ward right now because of how much I've been in the hospital. So, and you know, with the ovary rupturing and me going sepsis and being in the hospital for a little bit, I know. So to say to befriend pain, it's not going to take you today, tomorrow, or maybe that week, but realize that pain isn't your enemy. Pain is there just to let you know that something is wrong. And it's a process of elimination, whether it's your body, whether it's something spiritual or emotional or mental, you need to do a process of elimination. And just thank pain. Like I thank my pain. I said, thank you for letting me know that that's there. And let me see what I can do. I wonder why I'm having this pain. And that's what I mean by befriending pain. Thank you for letting me know you're there. What do I need to know right now? And that helps. You know, it was interesting that you were talking about earlier, Stephanie, the mentality. Right before I walked down my stairs, I had one of the best meditations that I've had in a long time. I was on one heck of a, I went deep. I kept on going deeper and deeper and expanding and deeper and expanding. And I was just on cloud 9. So for that to happen, that's why I was like, I think this was meant to happen, because I reached a level where I expanded and this needed to be released. And the thought ran through my head of where you needed to be in a better place so something could happen. So you're not just like, look at me. I'm in a bad place and I'm hating life right now. And I was just like, okay, all right, this is happening. Let's figure out what we can do. And I wasn't harping on the situation.
That's something that, because I used to have horrible cramps every month. And just that fear of when I feel it. It used to be, I was sent home from school once. My teacher in high school like saw my face went white and I had to like go home. So it was always this really scary time of the month. And so when I would feel the first like tinges of it, just this like panic would go up within me. And so I don't have them as bad now, but even every now and then I will. And there's this moment where like Heather's saying, I don't know if I could say I befriend it, but I work to take the fear out of it. I work to take the fear out of the pain that I'm in. And so it's almost like this just acceptance of its presence. And when I can do that, now granted for me, I can pop, you know, a handful of Advil, but when you're dealing with what Heather's dealing with, I don't know, there's something about, for me, getting rid of the fear of it or the denial, like clearly I don't want it to be in pain, but you're here.
So like Heather's saying, like, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
And yeah. That, yeah.
And I know.
You brought, go ahead.
So for me, I've noticed each time I thank the pain and acknowledged it and just said, what can I do? It lessened. The sharpness of the pain just wasn't there as much, but there was a little bit, but it wasn't as intense.
Yeah, because your body relaxes. Part of the problem is you're like, and fear and fighting it. And I think when you address it like that, your body, there's a relaxation. And then you call your team in and they're working on you.
I agree with that. And I'm glad you brought up, Angela, the pain or fear of pain, because I was going to exactly say that. It's not on my bucket list to befriend pain anytime soon. Although I know what Heather's saying and what you're saying, Angela, about that relaxation into it. It's interesting we're talking about this because last week, I think it was, or probably last week, at least a story came out. I don't know if you saw it, of the actress Ashley Judd. She was in the Congo and she broke her leg and it took 55 hours to get her to the place where she finally got help and then had multiple surgeries. And I was just, it really caught my attention because I was thinking, you know, she was out there and had to be carried on like a hammock with two men holding a stick with a sheet wrapped around it. So she's in pain as they do the walk. And then she was put on a motorcycle with a broken leg and had over bumpy roads for I don't know how long to then get to a truck, to then get to an airplane, to then get to where she finally got help. And I was thinking, you know, it's just amazing what some people have to go through. And I don't know that I hope I would surprise myself and just want to continue to persevere. But I got scared with that story thinking, what if I just couldn't take it? What if I was just like, oh no, this pain's too much. Just throw me to the lions. We're going to be passing them anyway, you know, just because because I'm behind it. I'm behind, you know, that the fear is greater than that urge to kumbaya through it. And
exactly. You gave birth.
I did. And I did naturally. And that was not my choice, not a drop of medicine. And yeah, it does, you know, it's horrible at the time, obviously what people tell you and you do forget it. You do, you know, so there's no memory. I just, you know, but I still, I don't know what it is. There's a great fear now that Angela brought it up of pain. And I understand back, I took, you know, back in the day, I don't know if it's still practiced now, Lamaze was the thing to do and the whole breathing thing. And believe me, I went out the door. I had whatever, that didn't even work for me, but I didn't fully understand what it is. And it's no, you call it Lamaze. You could call it just, you know, meditative breathing. Or, you know, even maybe like a tapping thing, how what people are doing now to work through their pain and discomfort. And it really does work when like you're saying, both of you are saying, when you get into it and relax the body and maybe you're thanking it like Heather, or you're talking to it, you know, like Angela, however, but it's so important to not just get the white knuckles and to fight it because that's a losing battle, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate you both bring up alternatives, right? And then take if some medicine is offered that will assist you. There's no sense of being a hero, and that's another thing, which is pain, and probably why I fear it is I am very sensitive to narcotics. So I had my gallbladder out about 8 years ago, say, and I was very, very concerned about going into it because I knew my story that I'm going to get one nauseous from the anesthesia, be sick. And then two, if I take any medicine, I will get sicker. So the surgery came, I got home, obviously groggy out of it. And they gave me the strong narcotics. It's like Vicodin or something. And I did not want to take any of that. And not to be a hero, I just didn't want to get sicker. I know it'll make me sick. So I was just resting and then I started feeling nauseous. So I didn't want to take anything. I didn't eat. Well, then the pain started. And then it was just all consuming, horrible pain. And then I was desperate for the medicine, but then it's too late, right? It's not too late, but you're behind. They call it getting behind the
pain,
right?
You're chasing
the
pain.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing just goes to hell from there. It's a nightmare. So I think maybe I need to rewrite those memories of my stories of how pain won, you know, and how I need to maybe mesh with it like you're talking about, Heather, talk to it and understand it's a dialogue, the body is saying something to you, other than I'm traumatized, I'm hurt, cut me open, whatever the case. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. So what would you, okay, when a person has injury, do you have some tips like you did today, Heather, and you, Angela, when you're like your back injury or just it just came out of nowhere? And a person goes, why now? And they're first, you're going to go through that, like you said, depression or anger. Why? I've got things to do. I've got places to go. How do you start breaking it down?
I would ask the question, if I was to guess why this would happen, what would it be? And then it kind of tricks your brain to going around what the ego would tell you. And then usually that's just a way of like, yeah, it was, that was a signal for me to slow down, or, you know, that was a signal that I'm doing too much, you know, just something to that effect. But I'm pretty sure whenever I've asked myself, if I was to guess, what do I think it would be? So
it's funny for me, I go in the opposite direction. It is very rare that a good analysis doesn't do it for me, because I am like a little Miss Mental, right? I love to analyze everything. But whenever it's come to pain, so when I threw my back out or other stuff, I will have that immediate sort of what's the spiritual significance. And if it's not obvious though, then I stop digging and I'm really about, can I nurture myself without an explanation? Can I just nurture myself? That week in bed, I was so surprised. I was crying that morning. Like I had to have my husband call my boss and tell him I couldn't come in because I couldn't even get the words out. And I was like, what's going on? Everybody is giving me their blessing to stay in bed. I've got stuff I can binge. I'm in a beautiful room. Like, why? I was really surprised by the emotions that were coming up from this. Which again, maybe that was the ancestral stuff, because I certainly didn't consciously know of any, like I wasn't having dreams like, oh, you were, you know, killed in a Native American village and this is coming up. Like there was no great revelation except for these waves of emotions. So for me, when I'm in that situation, I've gotten into the habit of, okay, let's take care of myself the way I would a small child and just tell her it's okay. You're going to feel better. But for right now, this is all you need to do. And just like really nurture myself that way. So that's kind of what pain has become for me, is how can I be kinder to myself?
That's so important, because it's so easy to turn against yourself, isn't it? Right. When you think your body's failing you, especially if it's an illness more so than injury. Injury just came and happened to you. But if you get sick, it's very easy to think, okay, how dare you, right? I mean, I exercise, I, you know, jogging, I'm eating right, whatever, and seriously, you're going to get me ill. Yeah. But the compassion you're saying for the body, the rest and the healing to give to it. So it's very mental, the game of healing, to get right back to where you want to be.
And I do go in the other direction now. It's to the point where if I, my tell is, well, in illness, obviously injuries, a wild card, but in illness, if I feel that cold chill that you get, I don't care if I haven't sneezed yet. I don't care if I don't have a headache. Like if that, I know that that means my body's fighting something. I drop everything. This is back when we were in the office, drop everything. I'm like, boss, I'm going home, because I know that if I get into bed and I sleep and I take care of myself today and don't let it blow up, then usually all I have to do is do that. And I'm back in the office tomorrow on my feet. But if I do what I used to do, which is, oh, it's just a cold, I'll muscle through it and go to work and all that, then it just blows up. Even if it doesn't go beyond a cold, it's a cold for 2 weeks. So I used to drive my husband crazy. I'd just like come home in the middle of the day. I'm like, cold chills, get on my pajamas, go into bed. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? But I've really learned to nurture myself. And so sometimes I've noticed myself developing colds and flus when I haven't been respecting my boundaries. And this is my way, my body's way of saying, well, if you're not going to just carve out some time for yourself, we're going to hit you with a cold or a flu. So that is one way I have learned through analysis when I'm getting colds. It, maybe it's because someone sneezed on me, but maybe also it's because I haven't been respecting my boundaries and I've been craving time to myself. So my body was like, not a problem.
That's right. One, I want to go back to, that is really remarkable that when you start to feel it, and it's not even fully ill, you just know something has shifted and this could be something and you immediately take care of it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I won't do it for a headache. I won't do it for
that's really amazing.
That could be allergies or, you know, right. I've had like horrible allergies.
Right. You know when something's amiss. Yeah.
But when I'm starting to get ill, it's these cold chills and I drop everything. And also because nowadays I don't want to get anybody else sick. So yeah, so I nurture.
That's really, really good. How about you, Heather? Have you had that happen where you drop everything and like, okay, today, no. Have you?
Okay. No.
Have you still been working today, Heather, and doing a million things?
My beloved poor body. I would manhandle my body and be just like, nah, we're gonna take care of this. I mean, it's like I was telling you ladies earlier to the listeners, I was telling them that I'm the type of person that will drive myself to the emergency room when I have an emergency. The only time that I didn't ever drive myself to the emergency room was when my ovary ruptured and I couldn't drive. So, so yeah, I'm the one I'll pass a kidney stone while I'm driving to the emergency room. So it's just,
well, you had mono alone in your room.
Oh yeah. And I drove myself to the hospital too.
Only after about a week of your mom trying to be like, are you okay? And you're like, get out. And you're just like, you wouldn't accept help. You told me that story.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was. Yeah, I had lost 10 pounds in 4 days. And yeah, I had 100, like each time I would test myself on the thermometer, I got to 107.6. And I didn't even realize that.
Brain damage.
Exactly. Oh, I was. And I didn't realize. And I had blankets all over me because I was in chills. So I had layered on the blankets. So I was making myself even hotter.
So does that concern you that, you know, that your response is to power through it and to be, you know, to carry on and not know your limits?
Wait, say that again?
Well, does it concern you that you do not stop?
It concerns me now.
Yeah. Okay. So now you're seeing that I've got to change this behavior or
very much
hurt myself or get myself in real trouble. Right.
You know, what stopped me one time, what stopped me was when I was talking to, I forgot who it was. Was it Janelle Renee Feeler? I don't remember. So anyways, I was talking to a medium and they told me your body is scared of you. And I was like, what? Why would my body be scared of me? And she just kind of laid it out. And I was just like, I will never do that again. I love my body. I love you. And let's see if I can change the relationship with my body. And it's taken a while. It's taken a couple of years to change my relationship with my body. But my body's like, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I want to.
Can I ask you, Heather, do you think that's learned behavior or is that survival? Oh, so it is learned. Okay.
I think it's both.
Maybe it's both. For you. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's survival. I'm the one that always has to take care. Well, I don't always have to. Mm-hmm. I'm the caretaker. So who's going to take care of me? Mm-hmm. But I just never saw anybody else wanting to take care of me. So mm-hmm. I've always had to take care of myself. And then, yeah. And it was just survival mode and just, what else am I going to do?
It's a lot of demands to put
Isn't
on your
it?
Body, huh?
My poor beloved body.
Well, it's good that you acknowledge it now so that you can stop again before something becomes...
Well, my back stopped going out because my back always used to go out I used to get sick all the time.
Isn't that interesting? You know, when you said that, it reminded me, I injured my neck back in the 1900s when I was working. I lifted something very heavy and I got a pinched nerve and then it just became chronic. And I remember I was working in downtown LA at the time and I used to have to go over by Children's Hospital too. This hospital is not even there anymore to go get a chiropractor. It was so old, the building, they had the elevator man in there. You know, to be like, what floor? You know, yeah.
Mezzanine.
It was cool, if not kind of creepy, but anyway, yeah. So and it was just, yeah, so strange. But anyway, I did that. And then I sought, because at the time it was a work injury, so they would continue to take care of it. I was taking an immense amount of Tylenol or ibuprofen a day. It was ridiculous. I don't even want to talk about it. But then after I stopped working, it just would plague me. If I worked too much in the garden or if I was doing something around the house, my neck would act up. Everyone always just knew my neck. It was such a story. It was such a, like, that was me. I identified by having a messed up neck. And then I adopted the belief that my genetics, my grandmother, my uncle, they all had, you know, stenosis or whatever they had in their neck. And, oh, I'm going to have that too. And I think about that now. I think, I don't know where it changed. I don't know when that story was dropped, but my neck is the least of my problems in any given day. I mean, it's just not anymore. And I never looked up what the neck injury was, a pain in the neck, carrying weight, I guess, maybe.
I used to ask people when they would have pains in their neck, I said, who's the pain in your neck? Mm-hmm. Or the weight of the world is on your shoulders.
Right. Yeah. But again, that focus, right? I guess something else took its place and it healed, and whatever I was doing, I stopped doing. And I really can't name it. I don't know when, but it's just, it's so beautiful not to have that issue because, oh God, I used to call it rotten neck syndrome. Whenever it would act up, I would say, oh, I got rotten neck today. And I would just picture my, it's not the spinal cord, but the part that holds your skull, that little space, the C area, it's just being like on fire with pain and just being, you know, rotten. And what a terrible thing. I never pictured it strong. I pictured it the opposite. So it must, I have to give, really, I think I have to give it all to Reiki, just maybe from the healing that I received. It was, became part of the healing process that relieved that. All the people who have, you know, been, who've shared Reiki with me. And because it wasn't an intentional thing I worked on, it just healed. It's amazing. It really is a beautiful story.
I used to get strep, really bad strep every year. And that one was obvious. It was like, as I found my voice, that, and I remember the last time I got it, I was at work. This is the work that I eventually got laid off. And my boss, just not a happy person. And she had come in and done something and then left. And my coworker, my work wife, looked at me and said, stop it. I said, what? She goes, you're internalizing it. Wow. And by the end of the day, I was sick as a dog and I was out for the rest 2 weeks with strep, just horrible because I wasn't allowed to vocalize like how toxic this boss was. And, but the fact that my friend could see it churning in me and that I was so upset and not saying anything was a real eye opener. It was actually really, it was kind of worth going through because I could feel myself notching down. And it's just like, if I was perfectly healthy at the start of the day and it was summer, it wasn't like the season, you know, it was purely my body attacking itself because I wouldn't be in alignment with what I was feeling. And not that I needed to go yell or scream at the boss, but to at least maybe not take it pretty, you know, do your four agreements, Stephanie, that you always talk about, or just process it in some way other than pushing it down. So.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up strep throat because I had that plague too. And the last time I ever had it was a very severe case. But I think obviously that's the communication chakra. And we tend to talk about that, about being maybe repressed, a voice, not living your truths or not sharing your truths. But I think mine was the opposite. I think I can look back now and I think I had to be silenced. I think I was saying, you know, too many things that were probably not kind, not helpful, not supportive. I was speaking in a way that was not in alignment with who I really wanted to be, right? And it's Heather shaking her head. And one of the most horrible things that I recall from that was not only was it like, as Angela probably knows, and probably Heather, if you had it, like swallowing glass when it gets to that point, I went to the pharmacy to get a prescription and I couldn't speak, I had no voice. And I was trying to tell the pharmacist, you know, my name and stuff. And he goes, oh, wow, you lost your whole voice. You got, you know, I said, yeah. And he goes, Oh, will you drive over to a diamond bar and breathe in my wife's face? That's what he told me. Can you believe that? That was
oh my God. Lovely man.
Yeah, and I thought he was just horrible. But when I think back to it, because obviously we know what he wanted to do to his wife. And I thought maybe I needed to hear that. Now that I look back, I needed to hear that on the outside so that I could resonate with it on the inside. And, you know, anyway, knock on the wood around, but that hasn't been an issue in these many years. And I hope and I expect it shan't be going forward, because I try to. So as the opposite with Angela, in that case where she was suffering from holding back her truths and maybe not speaking her beliefs, perhaps mine were being
Words said in anger.
Perhaps so. Exactly. We're being darted, you know, and used as ammunition, if you will. Right. Mm-hmm. And I needed to be silenced to be reflective and to stop it. Just stop it. Right. How about you, Heather? I'd love for you to have a strep throat story that is even another version of talking too much, not talking enough. Is there another one, or is that?
Oh, mine. I would always have throat issues. Mm-hmm. Tonsillitis. Mine was tonsillitis and strep throat a lot, but it would be a combination, like either not speaking my words, not speaking the truth, or words said in anger, or keeping secrets. I think that all has to do with the throat chakra.
Keeping secrets. Interesting. That would be in the throat also. Do you guys know too many men that have had strep throat or had as many of the throat problems as it seems women? You know, I know.
I don't think I have.
I've never known a man who said, oh, you know, I've got strep throat myself or lost my brother. Voice. Oh, okay. So yeah, well, good that you see it. That definitely does happen. But as for the majority, it seems women are plagued by it, right? Yeah. I mean, something that we need to work on and being okay with speaking our mind. But not going to the
That's
extreme.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, you can speak your mind, but I ask yourself, how can I come from grace when speaking my mind?
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah. Probably also like canker sores. I used to get canker sores all the time, you know, and that was a regular plagued problem with me too. If I ate something citrusy or whatever. And I think, again, that means caustic, you know, mouth, and that's just throwing out, spewing out negativity. Yeah. That was probably more of my behavior back then. So it's good they're not the issue nowadays. But it's interesting. The body's always talking to us, telling us and trying to get our attention, huh? Because yeah. There's some pain in those. All those things are very painful.
Well, it starts out in the spiritual, the mental, the emotional. And then finally, when it gets to the 3D physical.
It's there. So should we say, do whatever you can to make sure it doesn't happen? Or if it does happen, treat it differently. Don't fear it like I've been saying, like Angela said with me, am I trying to prevent it? Which is a big yes, absolutely. But maybe not try to prevent it so much as learn how to deal with it, learn how to accept it.
I think, I mean, clearly you want to take preventative health measures. We're not saying don't exercise.
Thank you.
But to your point, if you do get sick, if you do get injured, what would happen if you just nurtured your body and listened to what it needed? Because maybe you put all your analysis into why it happened, and that occupies your entire convalescence, so that you're not really present for you trying to heal your body. You're just trying to analyze your way through it. What's to say that you don't just shift to the problem? Oh, okay, you figured that out. Well, but guess what? The root cause of maybe the need for self-love or nurturing or reflection, it's still there. So it's like, great, we won't give you migraines anymore. Here's a bad back. You know, it's just like, it's going to keep trying to find its way out. That's just how it works for my body. That's how it works for me. I know that if I approach it with self-love, and some analysis, but really the focus is mostly on, okay, you're here. How can we get through this with grace? How can we get through this with love and compassion? That seems to short out any patterns from forming. For me, that's how it is for me.
Very good advice.
I like that. Yeah. And seeing it out, if you see it outside of yourself, then I would there's some self-inquiry that needs to happen.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Well, ladies, I think that's all the time that we have today. We'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in to the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within. Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the three intuitive healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.